ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। Chapter 9, the passing away of Bhishma Dev in the presence of Lord Krishna. Text number 1. Sutuvacha, Sri Suta Goswami said, iti, thus, bhita, being afraid of, prajadrohat, because of killing the subjects, sarva, all, dharma, acts of religion, vivitsaya, for understanding. Tataha, thereafter. Minashanam, the place where the fight was held. Pragat, he went. Yatra, where? Devavrata, Bhishmadev. Apatat, lay down for passing away. Sutuvacha, iti bhita prajadrohat, sarvadharma vivitsaya, tato vinashanam pragad, yatra deva vrato patat. Translation, Suta Goswami said, being afraid for having killed so many subjects on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhishthira went to the scene of the massacre. There, Bhishma Dev was lying on a bed of arrows about to pass away. Please repeat. Suta Goswami said,
Suta Goswami said,
being afraid for having killed so many subjects
on the battlefield of
Kurukshetra,
Maharaj Yudhishthira
went to the scene of the massacre.
There,
Bhishmadev
was lying on a bed of arrows,
about to pass away. Purport.
In this ninth chapter, as it is willed by Lord Sri Krishna, Bhishmadev will impart instructions to King Yudhishthira on the subject of occupational duties. Bhishmadev will also offer his last prayer to the Lord on the verge of passing away from this mortal world and thus become liberated from the bondage of further material entanglements. Bhishma Dev was endowed with the power of leaving his material body at will, and his lying down on the bed of arrows was his own choice. This passing away of the great warrior attracted the attention of all the contemporary elites, and all of them assembled there to show their feelings of love and respect and affection for the great soul. Which feelings?
Love, respect, and affection.
Sutuvacha iti bhita prajadrohat sarvadharma vibhitsaya tato vinashanam pragad yatra deva vrato patat. Suta Goswami said, being afraid for having killed so many subjects on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhishthira went to the scene of the massacre. There Bhishma Dev was lying on a bed of arrows about to pass away. This opens one of the momentous chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which we hear
from Bhishma Dev in a very interesting situation. That is, Bhishma Dev had been on the wrong side of the fight at Kurukshetra. Yet we see that he's a Mahajan, and that Krishna himself is taking Yudhishthira to hear from Bhishma Dev in order to solve the complexity that he's feeling about having engaged in battle and having, as the word is used here, massacring millions. And he's disconsolate in the previous chapter. And what does one do when one's disconsolate? One has to go to an authority to hear, to realign oneself with one's duty. And this opening verse announces that Bhishma Dev will do just that. He will be the one that will help to realign Yudhishthira and everyone else who is engaged in this battle at Kurukshetra. Even though it was the will of Krishna, still there's a residual effect that we see here in which everyone feels devastated by the carnage, by the situation that took place, and this is inevitable. We saw it at the beginning of the Battle of Kurukshetra, when Arjuna, even before entering into this situation, felt morose. In text 130 of the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says that, "I see that I'm going to get the opposite result of what I expected." And that, as Srila Prabhupada mentions when he comments on that verse, is the end result of all material endeavors, material being those endeavors that are taken up by one who is propelled by his own plans and not following the Lord's plan. However, we find, even though Arjuna finally surrendered and entered into the battle, it was Krishna's will, still there's some sense of loss, and Yudhishthira is trying to process that. So this is one of the points that comes out throughout the Bhagavatam, that despite the fact one may be fully engaged in devotional service following the Lord, still there's a mysterious way in which the world works. And I may feel that I'm experiencing reactions to my past misdeeds. This is something that is rectified in the verse 10:14:8 by Lord Brahma's prayers, where he says, "Tate nukampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipakam hridbhagvapurvira viradam damaste jiveta yomukti padesa daya bhak." There Brahma says the quintessential attitude of a devotee is that whatever is happening to me is the mercy of the Lord. And if somebody can process the things that happen to him or her in life, he says, sadaya bhak, such a person is eligible to go back to Godhead. Then in the purport, the servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, point out that from the previous acharyas, especially Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, that after a devotee surrenders to the Lord, there's supposed to be no karma, right? Yes or no? Right. Then can you prove it? Sarva dharman parityaja mame kam sharanam braja hantong sarva papi pyo mukshai mash masuchaha. Many verses in the Shastra, aprarabdha param papam kutam bijam palon mukam krami naiva priliyante vishnu bhakti ratatmanam. Padma Purana says, when you take to the service of the Lord, then your karma is destroyed. Or yastvindra gopa matavendra mahosa karma bandhan rupa palabhajana matanoti karmani nirdhati kintu chapukti bhajam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. Lord Brahma says, from Indra down to the Indra Gopa germ, everyone's getting the result of their karma. except for one who's engaged in serving Krishna, bhakti bhajan. So how is it that it seems as if I'm still getting the results of my karma? Anyone? Feel like that, I mean?
Yeah.
Everything's fine, eh? No? All right, two people admitted. Three, four, five. So in the purport, citing the acharyas, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that it's true that the devotee's karma is finished by worshipping the Lord. However, within the mind of the devotee, there may be a residual desire to enjoy the material world, residue. And therefore, the Lord arranges particular circumstances in the life of such a devotee to rectify those final desires to enjoy the material world. And he goes on to point out that he's extremely expert in doing so. In other words, he can give results that are specifically custom designed for that particular individual to make him or her finally want to give up the material world. And this is called the Lord's mercy. Yasyaham anagrinnami harishe taddharam shanai. Krishna says, when I show special mercy, I take away the person's means for enjoying the material world. And ultimately, he becomes fully dependent upon me. This is the Lord's causeless mercy on the devotee. However, still, even though these kinds of things come about, and one may study the Srimad Bhagavatam and understand that it may seem extreme at the time. Possible?
Yeah.
Three people. I mean, Yudhishthira is the emblem of all religious principles. But still, look at the reversals. Narada Muni is even commenting later on that you, the Pandavas, Yudhishthira, you're the most religious. Actually, Krishna lives in your house. But look at all these reversals that are coming to you. I mean, no one had more reversals of fortune than the Pandavas. Yet, Krishna is very dear to you, so how is this going on? It's not a rhetorical question I'm asking you. Maybe what?
I said maybe Krishna's not nice.
Maybe Krishna's not nice? That's not an option. There's actually, ultimately, Krishna's the perfect moral agent. He's Suhrit, or the best friend. And not only does he have one's best interest in mind, but he can do something about it. If God was all-powerful, but not all-merciful, we'd all be in big trouble. I mean, some people have that idea that God's vindictive. However, the nature of Krishna is described. I mean, Krishna himself describes how he gives full opportunity for every living entity to have the highest benefit of life. Samoham sava bhuteshu nami dveshosti napriyaha. He's very careful not to intervene in the life of the devotee, even when that devotee has a relationship with the material world. He does, however, try to intervene by giving perfect knowledge so that one who's ensconced in maya can come out. Because as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it's not automatic that people come out of ignorance. Maya mugda jivara nahi svata krishna gyan jivara kripaya kol krishna veda puran. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatan Goswami that Srila Veda Vyas had an intention to intervene through giving transcendental knowledge. Anarto pasanam sakshat bhakti yoga manhoksa jay lokasya janato vidvams chakre sattvata samhitam, especially through giving Srimad Bhagavatam so that living entities could understand their existential situation, take transcendental knowledge in a process, and come out of that. But it's not swata, it's not automatic that one can do that. So Krishna gives, he's completely equal to all living entities, and he doesn't intervene in their free will because he wants them to make a choice themselves to surrender unto him. So the kind of reversals that one finds in life in this chapter, we'll hear more about. Even the dharma, religion personified, speaking to Bhumi, while suffering the blows of the club and other implements of torture by Kali, was not willing to name the culprit when Yudhishthira asked him. Srimad Bhagavatam says, if you name the culprit, then you're also complicit in the reaction. Means that in any way, if you touch the material world by claiming to be a victim in some way, then you're pulled in by that energy. It's the opposite of the idea of tat tenu kampam susumikshamano. One accepts that whatever is happening to me is coming by the mercy of the Lord for my purification. Even as the Bhagavatam describes those who have material desires when they approach the Lord, satyam dishati artitam, artito nirnam, naivartito yat punar artito yata. Swayam vidate bhajatam anichitam ichapitanam nijapudapalavam. So if somebody approaches me, Krishna says, and is surrendering but is asking for material benedictions again and again, Krishna says, I give them the benediction, but I do it in such a way that they don't want it anymore. And it covers over that desire, and instead, icha pitaram nija pada palavam, instead I give him myself. It's paraphrased in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the Lord's saying, this person may be a fool, but I'm not a fool. He's approached me, and he can drink nectar, but instead he's asking, can I drink the poison? So Krishna said, I'm not going to give him that. And the devotees, he gives special consideration to help them once they surrender to him, and therefore he gives a kind of punishment. It looks like a punishment, but it actually is a rectification so that one can come to the ultimate point of pure devotional service. So I'm mentioning this because it's in the context of this chapter that Bhishma Dev will be discussing these points and remarking about how the entire material cosmos is very difficult to understand. It's ruled by the time factor. Do you feel like that? Do you feel ruled by the time factor? If you don't now, you will later. And there's a very simple aspect to bhakti, which is to not try to figure it all out, but to surrender to Krishna and understand that it's his will. These points of teaching from Bhishma Dev and others bring us to this resignation that it's the will of Krishna, and therefore, whatever happens, I accept as the mercy of the Lord. And I take it for my own purification. If one, Prabhupada says, writes in a purport, can take punishment as the reward of the master. Punishment as a reward? Are you all listening? Punishment as a reward of the master? Then one can take the lesson from that. It's very valuable. That's how one can actually come to a stage of perfect devotional service. A story in the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Shiva is asked to fight against the demons. Demigods and demons are always fighting, so the demons have gained the upper hand. Lord Shiva comes in as Tripurari, one of his names, because he fought against Tripurasura. Also, the demons had created three aerial cities by the grace of Maya Danava. And Lord Shiva had valiantly used his bow to destroy, put down the demons who had become very powerful in these three aerial mansions. But then Maya Danava made a pool of nectar, Mrityu Sanjivani. You can still buy this in South India. That's what they told me anyway. And every time a demon was killed, he would dip them in this nectar and they would come back to life, stronger than before. So now the demigods were in big trouble. So they prayed to Lord Vishnu. And he went there to those cities in the form of a cow, and Lord Brahma accompanied him in the form of a calf. This is coming to a good point, you'll see. And they walked into the assembly of demons and they drank the nectar. And Maya Donovan and all the demons were watching them drink the nectar, and they were thinking, like, this is amazing. They've intervened, they're taking away our power, but we can't stop them. The energy of the Lord was so powerful, they couldn't even approach him. Calf and cow drinking the nectar out of the pool. So Maya Donovan said that what has been destined for oneself or others, or for both oneself and others, cannot be undone anywhere or by anyone, whether one be a demigod, a human being, or anyone else. It's a point at which one can see that destiny of the Lord is so powerful. In another section of the Bhagavatam, one learns how to actually deal with providential events. Anyone had these in their life? Something providential comes about? Like a reversal of fortune? One, two, three, four, five, six. And so this is in the section of Prithu Maharaj when he's performing his 100th horse sacrifice, which is kind of like the competition of the sales of Saptarishis. No one wants to be outdone. And Indra's the only one who had sold 100 Saptarishis to have done 100 horse sacrifices. So Prithu Maharaj was about to perform his 100th horse sacrifice, and Indra intervened in the sacrifice. How did he do it? Somebody tell me.
By becoming a sannyasi.
He had become a fake sannyasi. He pretended he was a sannyasi because sannyasi can walk in anywhere and everyone will respect and they won't touch him. So he put on the dress of a sannyasi and he walked into the assembly and he stole the horse for the sacrifice. And he was getting away. And the son of Indra, the son of Prithu, went after him and then noticed, oh, it's a sannyasi, I can't do anything. But then they noticed, they brought another horse, and Indra came as another kind of sannyasi. He did it four times. The fourth time, Prithu Maharaj became so angry, he wanted to kill him. And so the sages that were there performing the yajna, they said, you can't kill him, he's Indra.
Brahma.
What? No, hold on. He said, you can't kill him because he's Indra. We'll kill him for you. So they started to perform a yajna that would draw Indra into the fire, the sacrificial fire. Then Brahma came. And Brahma gave advice to Prithu Maharaj. And he said, when something providential comes into your life that you can't change, he said, don't try to change it. Because if you do, then you'll enter deeply into the whirlpool of anxiety by trying to overcome it. And Prabhupada writes a very soothing purport. In it, he starts off by saying, we notice that even the most religious of people, upright, pious, undergo providential reverses in their lives. As to what to do about them, he said, you should take Krishna's advice from the Bhagavad Gita. You have to learn to tolerate such things. Because if you try to counteract them, then it makes it worse. So those are just a few, just a little framework, food for thought, from which we'll take some reflections and questions to expand the conversation. Yes, Prabhu. Now, we have an extra microphone. It's on a long string, so be careful of strangulation from this, or whiplash. But it is important to be able to hear what the sages are saying here this morning. Here he is. Let's see if he can make it. There is a new invention, by the way, called cordless microphones. We may have to look into that. Hold it right next to your chin. Yes.
How is it
Yeah, so if you're in the mood of Queen Kunti, vipara santita sasva tatra tatra jagagoro darshanam bhavato darshanam yat syad apunar bhavadarshanam. She said, thank you, that let these calamities come again and again. Does anybody pray like that this morning? Did you do? When you woke up, said, please let some reversal of fortune come into my life. Nobody? Let the IRS call? Or the door of my car fall off? Actually, but this is like, there's in Ayurvedic cooking, when you take the bitter vegetables, it's very healthy. People who aren't used to it, if in the West, people don't eat bitter vegetables. If you give them, here, this is very nice. Bah! Tastes bad. But it's medicinal. It gives a cure. It's a curative. So this kind of bitter thing can start to taste like Karela. What's better than Karela? That's a real question, not rhetorical. Nothing. Nothing better than Karela. But it's very bitter. So same way, Kunti's saying that these reversals that come, actually, when else do you get an opportunity for really a deep moment of introspection than when you're really up against it? Because otherwise, it's my nature to cruise through the material world as long as everything's okay. That's why Kunti also says that one must be akinchana gochara. Janmaishwarya Shruta Shribir Edamana Madapuman, same section. Naivarhat Yavidatum Vai Twamakinshana Gocharam. She said, if you think you have something going for you in this world, then you can't sincerely call out to the Lord. And that's what really cuts through the material energy and the concept that I'm meant to be in this world, is when there's a sense that I don't have any other shelter. Because it's possible to actually think I have some other shelter. Someone told me that his grandfather died on the way to the hospital. He's having a heart attack, but he stopped at the bank to check his bank balance. Ostensibly to kind of take shelter of the fact that one gets used to it. I was with a person who was dying recently, and he was telling me all my life, I've been trying to make money and hold on to it as much as possible. And actually, he was writing a check. He was on his deathbed. But he was saying it's very hard to give it away now, because I've cultivated hanging on to it for so long. And if one is able to cultivate that attitude, in fact, a European scholar, philosopher once said, die to live. If you die preemptive death, then death can't come and take you, because there's nobody home anymore. Death comes knocking at your door. Sorry, I gave away all my stuff. I have no more false ego. I'm a kinshana. I don't have anything. So what can she take away if she comes knocking at your door? Anything? Nothing. So akinchana means kinshana means something. I have something that's protecting me here in this world, but akinchana means I don't have anything at all. Both other points? Yes. 1, 2, 3. Starting with Gora in the front row.
I have two questions, one direct and one indirect.
Okay.
The direct question is, you stated what is destined cannot be undone. Yet at the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, it says of the five subject matters, karma is the only one that can be changed. So it sounds like a contradiction.
The verse I quoted from my Devo Suru Naronyova Neshvaro Stiha Kashchana Atma. Atmanyeva nyasyava dishtam daivena pahitum dvayo, means if it's destined by the Lord, if it's His will that it's going to happen, then it'll happen no matter what. So the The problem is that I have limited perspective about what's good for me. I was with a couple of devotees who just bought a piece of property in North Carolina, and they were showing me that there's a waterway there. It has a river and a big lake on their property, and there's a beaver. Everybody know what a beaver is?
Yeah.
I gave class to the Japanese the other day. They weren't sure at first. A beaver. And beavers build dams. That's a fact. And so the beaver was blocking up the waterway, so the county wanted to come in and get rid of the beaver because it was messing up the waterway. But they had to get the permission of the landholders, who are these two devotees. I'm going somewhere with this. And so they went there, and the devotee said, no, you can't touch the beaver. You can't help him, hurt him. Because they wanted to take him away, who knows what, put him in a zoo or something, at best. So then she was saying, was one of the devotees, that when they'd go to see the beaver would run away. Because they'd see these two devotees and he'd run. He didn't know, actually, that they were his benefactor. He saved him from sure death from the government. And in a similar way, I'm always thinking that, you know, whatever comes into my life, that this somebody's after me. But for the devotees, Krishna's actually making arrangements. It's different. It's not karmic. It's actually the Lord's arrangement, so that we can become purified. So Prabhupada says in the Navajano Jatu Katanchadam Rajed, Mukunda Sevan Yavarangar Samsritim. You know that verse? This is from Narada Muni in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavatam. He says, the devotees don't undergo material existence like others. Because once they've surrendered to Krishna and they've tasted the nectar of surrender to Krishna, even though they have a tendency to fall down again back into the material nature, says Narada, Navajano Jatu Katanchanam Vrijan Mukunda Sevan Yavarangar Samsritim. They fall back into samsrit. He said that, but still, it's not the same as a materialistic person because they remember again and again the bhava of surrender to Krishna. Actually, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says they're haunted by the ghost of bhava. They have some taste, so now they go back to the material life, but they're haunted by that. And then Prabhupada said, an orphan and a rich kid who runs away from home are not the same. So the devotees are like a rich kid who's kind of run away from home, but they can always go back. They have somewhere to go. Other people they don't know, they have nowhere to take shelter. So the experience is different. What they experience, the karma, it seems rather severe. For devotees, they can actually understand its purification. Okay, the other question, please.
Yeah, you were talking, made some reference to full engagement in Krishna service. So I was speaking with two godbrothers last night, and one brought up the topic of mission drift or mission shift. We know that Srila Prabhupada was a great innovator in bringing Krishna consciousness here to the West. He did many things that normally a sannyasi would not do. So the question is, how can you discern between when an innovation becomes a deviation? And a specific example was given of, you know, we know that when Prabhupada talked about combining yoga with bhakti yoga, he said, yes, we can teach yoga. You sit up straight, you sit on a mat, and you have japa beads and you chant Hare Krishna. We see that now yoga is being used to attract people to Krishna consciousness. Another godbrother mentioned that another godbrother has used martial arts. So there seems to be some controversy on this topic. I'm wondering if you could shed some light.
It's a good question for the context of the Bhagavatam right now, because actually Yudhishthira, as we already mentioned, is in a quandary. Should I have done this war? And now he's going to Bhishma for clarification. So Prabhupada, when asked that question about knowing the difference between details and principles, said you have to have a little intelligence. And the best place to get intelligence, of course, is from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And also, it's very helpful to have live mentors in the world who are rather successful in devotional service. That is, they've obviously dedicated themselves to the process. They have some training, previous training, that connects to the parampara. And they're thoughtful people. And if you triangulate and make your decisions based on getting good advice from people who are well situated in devotional service and who are in good standing and have some training, then that's the best way to have ongoing intelligence how to make these kinds of decisions. Okay, who had the next question? Yes. And then Sankirtan Dasi. This is a harrowing experience, bringing the cord through the crowd. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Just a comment. You mentioned that letting go before you die. Bhakti Kirtasana wrote a book before he died. Die before you die.
Die before you die.
Yeah, he wrote a book.
Okay. So if you need a handbook for how to do that, there's one available. Die before you die. I mean, you can try it. See if it works out. Because the material world definitely doesn't work out. Hanging on to, thank you. This is almost like a art, a sport.
Hanging on to
the false ego. And, you know, it's obviously a ludicrous exercise to try to hang on to the material body and all the material possessions and everything like that. Better to be a preemptive giver. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, start with whatever you can give away. Yat koroshi rashna shiyaj johosi dadasi yat yatapasyasi konteya tat kurushvam anarpanam. He said, start somewhere. Start giving whatever you can. If you have some little things, some burnt firewood that you're attached to, you know, give it away. See what happens. Give it to a good cause. And see if that doesn't open your heart a little bit. And if you get in that flow that I'm giving, you notice that actually, if I just give everything to Krishna, then I'll just be completely happy. And then there's no problem at all.
I was wondering how prayer fits into this.
How what?
Prayer.
Prayer, yes. Yeah.
In the purport, probably he recommends for us to say those prayers. He says it gives the most protection from the greatest dangers. So is it just a matter of how you pray?
No, it's very important. Because, first of all, as the great saint Radhika Raman Prabhu points out in one of his excellent lectures about how prayer is so important. He said as a kid, he always wondered, when they were reading the Bhagavatam, that's how he learned to read, together, why there are so many prayers. The storyline kept getting interrupted by numerous prayers of the devotees, like, not again! But actually, as he points out, that it expresses the relationship the devotees have. Like some of the best prayers, the Nagapatnis, and I mean, these prayers are just a delectable for somebody who's trying to surrender and see what the... how to surrender and offer prayers. They're very powerful. So it expresses one's intention to Krishna. That's the most important aspect also. Bali Maharaj, when he was approached by Vamana, in his heart he had the intention to surrender. And the circumstances didn't allow it. But Vamana understood his heart. And therefore, later on, the demigods were surprised. They said, how did he get so much mercy? And it's mentioned there that Krishna understood his heart. And when we pray, we actually can express our heart, what's in our heart. And we also can express our dependence on Krishna. In fact, Prabhupada mentions in his purports in the Bhagavatam that when you take Ayurvedic medicine, anyone? Come on, admit it. Okay. It says, Ashaudi Chintayat Vishnu. When you take Ayurvedic medicine, you better pray to Vishnu because it doesn't work unless he sanctions it. And Prahlad Maharaj, Balasya Neha Sharanam Pitarao Nishingha Nartasya Chaganamudambati Majito Nau Taptasya Tat Pratividir Yadi Hanji Sheshtas Tavad Vibo Tanubritam Twarupekshitanam. He said, a boat can't save a drowning man, parents can't save their children, and medicine can't save a sick person unless the Lord sanctions it. And so, you know, always prayer. One of the most interesting circumstances of prayer we find with Kardama Muni after 10,000 years of meditation. Then the Lord appeared out of so much compassion. He shed a tear, and there's that Sarovara, the Prem Sarovara, where he shed his tear. And then he offered his prayers, did Kardama, to the Lord. And then in his prayers he said, and by the way, I need a wife. And the Lord said, yeah, I already know. I know that. And the fact is, like, why did he have to say anything? But actually, he expressed that, and then he left it up to the Lord to make the arrangement. And Prabhupada said, if you make a prayer, and then you leave it up to the Lord, he'll make a better arrangement than you can make. Preetu does that also. He says, treat me like a child, I don't know anything. So I'm making a prayer and I'm saying, like, it's up to you. You arrange my life however you feel is good. So all these different prayers express the intention of the devotees. Gajendra Mokshana, he's praying for safety from the crocodile. And then he says, I'm sorry I have to ask for this, because pure devotees actually don't ask, he says, for any kind of protection from the Lord. So you see the intention, you can express it, and by expressing your intention, it can be purified. When you put it before the Lord, he purifies everything. So Prabhupada writes in one of his books, it's one of the small books, he said, when you're being churned by the ocean of material existence, you should admit your troubles to the Lord. That's one kind of prayer. Say, he says, you should go before the Lord and say, I'm being tossed like this and that, and therefore, I need your help. It's a kind of prayer. Admit it to the Lord. Who else are you going to tell? Nobody else really cares that much. But Krishna cares, and he can do something about it. Okay, last one from Sankirtan Dasi for the close. Oh, yeah, but she was first, and then we'll go over to Narada. You were first? Okay, let's see if we get the cord without being strangled, and you'll leave Sankirtan Dasi on hold yet again. Go ahead.
My question is very simple. If punishment is reward, then what is exactly reward?
If punishment is reward, what is exactly reward? Well, actually, it's the understanding that this is the hand of the Lord in my life. That he's the one administering this. That's the spirit of Tate Anukampam Susamikshamano Bunjane Evatma Kritam Vipakam. This verse, Te anukampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Vipakam, what does that sound like? From the fifth canto. Kumbipaka. So the great pandit Mukunda Datto told me this. This
vipakam is cooking.
Huh? Yeah, so cook. So it's like kumbipaka. So there's a relationship with this word. And he said the idea here is, you cooked yourself. I cooked myself. Like there's a saying in English, you cook in your own juices, because you started this. So now you take the result. So the devotee's thinking like that. Whatever is coming to me, whatever kind of punishment, is actually, I set myself up for this. And it's a small price to pay. Actually, if somebody's in that mood, then it's taking punishment as reward. Then what can hurt such a person? He's taking his medicine, not his punishment. It's just when I try to avoid everything and think that I shouldn't suffer, and that I can make an arrangement here in this world so that I don't have to suffer. And that's unreasonable. In business marketing, there's a concept called managing expectations. If the company gives too bright a prospect of a certain product and people, it's not as good as they said it was, then people will be disappointed. But if it's better than what they thought, then they'll be delighted. And so they try to position it properly. And so Krishna does that in the Bhagavad Gita. He categorically says, Abrahma bhuvana loka punar avartino arjuna. Mamu petya tu kontaya punar janmana vidite. Don't expect anything out of the material world at all. If you start from there, you're not so disappointed. Yes. This is the last one. We got 30 seconds left. Well, the best way to overcome the drama of material life is to chant really good japa. Because you know the admonition, don't shop when you're hungry? Anyone ever heard that? Three people only. The rest of you, I warn you, don't do it. When you go in and shop when you're hungry, it's a disaster. So it's similar. Don't go out into the drama of the world before you've experienced some inner connection through your japa. Because you're hungry. You're in a hungry state. You go out into the world and you're walking around. You just get sucked into everything. You get the wrong kind of association, hear the wrong kind of things. But if you chant good japa, then you become satisfied and you're looking inwardly for solutions rather than trying to fix out all the dramas of the material world. And then you enter into the soap opera yourself. And then it's very difficult, right? So chant really good japa, and also it helps to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam because, in case you haven't noticed, it's the greatest soap opera of all times. I mean, Indra, you know, he killed his spiritual master. That's better than any, like, general hospital anybody's ever seen. There's, you know, all the drama, he killed Vishwarup, and then Tvashta created a demon in the form of Vritrasura. Then Indra, you know, said, I already got so many sinful reactions for killing Tvashta. And so they said, he said, I don't know. And the Brahmin said, no, it's okay. You'll be fine. You just perform another horse sacrifice and you'll be absolved from all sins. So Indra went and killed Vritrasura, who turned out to be a great devotee. And he got the sinful reactions anyway. Had to suffer. So what's my point? Point is, if you read the Bhagavatam, and you see all this, it's all in there and more. You experience the soap opera drama through the Bhagavatam, and your intelligence will be informed, and you'll be satisfied with enough drama. And then you actually become impervious to the twists and turns of the material drama that you're going to enter into. So two things, chant really good japa, 16 rounds will do it. If you do 16 good rounds, like really lean into it. Try to break something. Like, you know, like you're leaning so hard into it, you try to like make something snap. Like it'll never be the same again. If you do that, like really intensely, and then read a good dose, take a healthy dose of Bhagavatam every day. Like read it out loud. Hear it with friends. Then that fills up your hunger and you won't be grabbed by all the drama of the material world because you've already entered into the internal potency. And it's a much better drama, the internal potency. Drama we must be involved in, whether it's in the material world or the spiritual world, because we can't do without it. Krishna says, Nahi kashchit shanamapi jatu tishchatya karma krit karyate havasha karma sarva prakriti jayagunai. One way or another, you're going to be into the drama. So better to get sucked into the drama in the spiritual world. And that means even in the Sankirtan movement, it's better to be embroiled in all the problems of managing the movement. And if you're at all inclined towards management and you would like more problems in your life, we invite you to step up, all young people, and take a huge burden on your head by trying to manage the problems that are inevitable. And if you do that, you're actually getting purified by taking on drama in your life. That's the benediction of the Sankirtan movement that Narottam Das Thakur says, if you dive into the ocean of the Sankirtan movement and absorb yourself there, you'll come out on the ocean of Radha Krishna's pastimes. It's a useless waste of time to get involved in materialistic drama, because nothing good ever comes of it and doesn't solve any problems. But if you get involved in the drama of helping to spread the Sankirtan movement and having to deal with all the problems therein, then you get great benefit. Krishna notices you. So do take on drama, but make sure it's aligned properly. You'll feel a lot of distress, but it's purifying at least. At least that's my realization. Hare Krishna. Thank you very, very much. All glories to the Sankirtan movement, Sri Rathayatra, Jagannath Baladev, Subhadraji Ki Jai, Gopremanande, Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo, Nitai Gaura Haribo, Bo, Haribo, Nitai Gaura Haribo. Vanchakalpudrusha kripa sinabe vacha patitanam pavani bhu vaishnavi bhu namo namaha nantakodi vaishnavi ki jai. Natari armarman, natari armarman, natari armarman, hey, natari armarman, natari armarman, natari armarman, natari armarman.